of my soul. Bread of heaven, oh, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, oh, fill it up and make me whole. Let's just worship him this morning. Oh, fill my cup, Lord, invite him in. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till fill it up and make me whole. Amen. I tell you, he is that living water that can quench our thirst. He's the bread of heaven that can feed our soul this morning. We're just happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hope you come expecting to receive from him. If you're thirsty, he can quench that thirst. Amen. And if you're hungry, he can feed the hungry soul. Let's stand once more. Let's stand as we ask Brother Terrence to come this morning as we sing that chorus again. Fill my cup, Lord. Oh, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul.
Good morning. Glad to see everybody with us this morning. A couple announcements. Remember this. We'll make this many times or a couple more times. We will be celebrating Mom's birthday next Sunday after the evening service. Next Sunday after evening service, we'll have cake and ice cream for my mama, Sister Dale, it says. So remember that. Next Sunday after the second service, cake and ice cream, Mom's birthday. Also, the 46th annual, they're getting these out kind of early, 46th annual missionary camp meeting is coming up August 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. If you need any information, we'll be reading this many times before then, so it'll be up here. August is the time. Request we have this morning is, Sister Rebecca gave me one, says, Mom asked, to remember Brother Al. He's real dizzy this morning and unsteady. That's why they're at home and she's there with him. So remember that. And also I think Sister Regina fell and kind of scraped herself up. So remember Sister Regina also as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling on the highways, Lord. Be wherever they may be this morning, you bless them, be with them and guide them. Be with the request. Remember Sister Regina and Lord and Brother Al and Brother Dick, still remember him. And Lord, all the ones that need a touch from you that we pray for on a regular basis, Lord, just come down and bless them. Be with them. Give them strength. Heal their bodies, Lord. Lord, we all have unspoken requests, whatever the needs are in those situations. Come down and bless them. Lord, be with them and guide them. Be with Dad. Give him strength today also, Lord. And let us always listen to what's being said. Lord, forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for you. Many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible. Only believe. Only truly believe. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. Your name, I bless your name. In prisoner's chains, with bleed and stripes, O Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their sing. Their chains were loose and they were free. We bless your name. We bless your name. We give you your name. We bless your name. Sun, midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, we've all been there. Oh, reach out and pray. Chains, and they will fall. It's in his name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Oh, I give you praise. Your name, I bless your name. Let's just sing that once more. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the truth. The truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Amen. Just in those times of trials, just start praising his name, and I tell you, he'll come on the scene and break every tempest power that tries to bind us. Amen. Brother Mark, would you come this morning to take the morning tithe and offering? Amen. Let's turn to page 592 in the Spiral Songbook, if you have it near you. Mm-hmm. talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords Supreme, throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Jesus. Let all the world proclaim the power and majesty of such a wondrous name. The babe of Bethlehem, the bright and morning star. Let's sing His praises near and far. Let's talk about Jesus. The bread of life is He, the Savior of the world, that man of Galilee, the prophet, priest, and king, the mighty God is He, the well of living water free. Let's talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He, the great physician too, down through all history. The lily pure and white, the rose of Sharon fair, the shepherd of such tender care. Let's talk about Jesus, the rock of ages He, the lamb for sinners slain, that man of Calvary, the great Emmanuel, the word of God sublime. He is our bridegroom so divine. Let's talk about Jesus, the rock of ages He, the lamb for sinners slain, that man of Calvary, the great Emmanuel, the word of God sublime. He is our bridegroom so divine. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. For I can never, ever outlove the Lord. Is that your heart's desire? Oh, I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. For I can never, ever outlove my Lord. Let's all stand. Oh, I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. that love he's shed abroad in our hearts that just makes us want to live and love for others. Amen. We're going to ask Brother Kyle if he'll come this morning for the responsive reading as we sing that once more. I want to give the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. For I can never, ever outlove my Lord.
Amen. Good morning. Thankful to see everyone be here today. I had a little walking cane. Well, I needed it today, but you know, prophet taught us if there's no sickness, there will be no healer. There'll be no need for the healer. And Lord God, he did many things. He made some sick so some could be healed. That things that he promised, he brought them to pass. Yes. Today, I think that came just temporary. Right. Amen. I believe by next Sunday, I'll be back on the shelf where it belongs.
Amen.
God bless us all. For everyone that have a need this morning in your heart, just turn it over to Jesus and let him bring it forth unto you. Right. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for the mighty power that you have given unto us. Lord, you heal some, you save some, or you saved all. But Lord, we know that this day is a special day in our hearts that we surrender our lives unto you. God, for whatever it is that we have need of, Father, we know that you can give us. Let us be yielded and accepted, Father, and let us grow strong and not weak. Father, many times we have weaknesses and sickness because we surrender to it. But Lord, let us surrender unto you and your blessing lift us up. We ask you to remember those young ones in the Sunday school classes, Father. Teach them, Lord, that which they have need of. God, and let them grow strong and let them know that you are real. And for whatsoever it is they have need of, Lord, you can give. Just let them accept it. We ask you to bless us this morning here in the sanctuary. Lord, what we have need of, God, let us be so surrendered unto you and let us accept it. If we are lost, God, save us. If we are sick, God, we ask you to heal us. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Dale this morning and touch him in a special way. Lord, that he may speak unto us, Lord, that which we have, and let us have gratitude and thanks, God, and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read this we're going to read this morning from Psalm 71. Let's read. And thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Deliver me of thy righteousness. Call my name's escape. Find your enemy. Save me.
Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Thou... For thou art my rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, O Lord, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous who rule me.
For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth.
Thou art he that I have known from the womb. Thou art he that beyond my womb.
I am as a wanderer unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Saying, God has forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him.
O God, be not far from me. O my God, my help.
Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Take them, be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the days, for I know not the number thereof. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared my wondrous works.
Now also, when I am old and great, O God, forsake me not, till I touch thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come.
Thy righteousness also, O God, in very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee?
Thou which shows thee great and sore troubles shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth.
Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me, O on every side. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for thou hast counseled, for they are brought down shame that see my hurt. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Do you love the word of the Lord? To his strength, to our health, our soul, and our heart, and our mind. Let's turn to page 373. Spiral song up. Happy this morning, he's the great emancipator. Amen.
Oh, once my heart and soul were fettered by the binding chains of sin. Oh, but the great emancipator set me free to worship him. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name, for he's the great emancipator, and that's the song of the was drifting, oh, so helpless and alone. But the seeking shepherd found me, led me to my Father's home. Let's sing all that once more. Oh, once my heart and soul were fettered by the binding chains of sin, but the great emancipation and alone, but the seeking shepherd found me. Are you happy for that? Oh, led me to my Father's home. Stand. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see our King. You're seeing him in the Word right now. You're seeing him in his people, but one day we'll behold his face. Amen. Let's change the order of the service as Brother Dale comes this morning. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted. Shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, amen, amen. Holy. For holy, 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 you are holy, holy, amen. Holy, 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 holy,
and I want to see. I want to see him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like, turn in your scriptures. You can turn to where we've been reading in Ephesians 2. And then we'll go to Jonah 2. Ephesians 2, Jonah 2. Remember the announcements and the things that were made. So just everything to go in. It'll be the Father's Day weekend thing. Will be coming up pretty quick. And okay, that was, we got to read it again. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. We had everybody up here. We'll read it again. Okay, but just remember the Sunday, June the 9th, which is not this weekend, but the next weekend, June the 9th, it will be Nanny's birthday will be on the Wednesday, but we're going to wait where it'll be for the weekend, that there'll be cake and ice cream, so everything will be there. And just for next Sunday after the evening service, we'll be having Nanny a birthday. She's getting to be, she's chasing me, but she's not going to get there. She's just chasing me. I won't tell how old she is, but you put 2 7s together and you'll have it. So that'll make it work out to where what she'll be. All right, but that will be next Sunday, okay? Now, remember the Father's Day weekend then will be on the weekend of the 16th, and Brother Keith Reed will be here with us ministering on the 16th, and then we will have the Father's Day weekend time going from Sunday on to Monday and Tuesday, having a good time of fellowshipping together. All right, remember that. Remember the sick ones among us. Remember Brother Al's sick this morning. And just keep him in your prayers. And Brother Dick, remember him. I talked to Sister Jean this week. She's still having a lot of problems with walking and things, her legs and everything. But just keep her in your prayers. We got a lot among us that are sick, you know, and the things that doing. Brother Colley's back with us there, and we appreciate that. And we pray the Lord would take care of everything and do it. Sister Regina called, and she had a little fall in the house the other day and kind of bummed her up some. So she's viewing us on tube this morning. So that's one thing we do have, the ability to where we can at least go to the tube side of it and do, you know, to where people can connect in and be in the service live, just like everybody being here. But we appreciate all of that. Any other announcements we got? Right. Make sure that if you're going to the Father's Day outing, that you sign up. Now, they're fixing one for the women on that, then, so y'all have to worry about getting that together. But they've got it fixed there for you need to sign up for that, whatever they're going to do, and get everything connected together, okay? Any other? We generally miss something. Let's go to Ephesians. I got myself a little note right there. I was talking to Brother Kern. Where's Brother Kern at? Okay. You go around 373 of the Church Age book, and you'll find what we're talking about 10 pages backwards or forth. 373 Church Age book, okay? All right. So I wrote that to myself. If I don't do that, I'll forget it, okay? Ephesians 2. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for being you. And we just ask you to come and be with us today, Lord, and open our eyes to thy word, because that's the main part that we desire, is to see you through the opening of your word to be revealed to our hearts. We love you and we thank you. Father, we've been talking for quite a while about the new birth and being born again and things, Lord, and we pray that you would just help us all to understand the things that are required of us and then the things that take place in our life. We love you and we thank you. Bless and guide each one. Remember the sick ones among us and just touch each one. Deliver and guide in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Daugherty, Sister Johnny's not here, Brother Daugherty. He's still having trouble with his eyesight, so remember him to pray for him, okay? Ephesians 2. Now, we read this for quite a while, but what are we talking about? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen? Now, let's go over to Jonah, because we've been talking on salvation. I like this of what it says in the book of Jonah about this. Jonah 2:7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And we've been for quite a while dealing with and speaking on salvation. Now what we want to do now is to drop back and take our point and, come forth in understanding about the new birth and the things and to be directed in that. And now we're going to try to make it as though, and I want you to think about this. I hope to God that I can preach. I've always said I had rather go through life finding out that I had something, all of my time and all like that, instead of going through life and finding out I didn't have it. Because you got a problem when you find out you didn't have it. All right. I want to try to preach salvation as simple as possible to where the children can understand, but also the adults. All right. And I'd like to be able to preach it to where that this is my goal, to preach salvation to where everybody in the building and everybody that's listening in comes to a realization of their own selves, of where they stand with God. Amen. All right? Because, salvation is the most important thing, not our arguments of, well, I believe this and I believe that. We spent vast times trying to go through, and you go back and listen to the message and listen to the prophet in the way that he's describing it. Salvation is not speaking in tongues, shouting, glory, hallelujah. What is salvation? Amen. Salvation is the new birth. All right? Amen. And what is the new birth? The prophet said, The new birth is the birth of the Word. Or, in other words, the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you is your new birth. All right? See, then we need to think on these things. And here is my point. If I could preach it good enough to where that you can realize that you're lost, then I've reached my goal. To preach it to realize that you're saved is a great help and a great understanding. I'm serious about saying it now. And listen, I'm not trying to preach to get you to find out you're saved. That's between you and God. That is totally between you and God. It is not you or anybody else. It's between you and God. But to find out that you're lost and need to be saved, well, that would be the great opportunity for that person to come to salvation. All right? And see, then I want to preach it as simple as we can. And you say, well, Brother Dale, are you trying to tell me I'm lost? That's exactly what I am trying to tell you, that you're lost. Okay, is that enough? Because if I can get you to realize you're lost, I've reached my goal. Right? You say, well, you shouldn't be that way. You need to bring us up and lift us up. What good does it do to lift us up into something that we don't have no idea what it is? What is the new birth, Brother Branham? Christ's mystery of God revealed. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. And see, then it's not to you and somebody else. It's to you. All right. Then the birth is the birth of the Word. I want you to get that more than anything else could be, because that's what I've always believed it to be and what I've always taught it to be. The new birth, I believe your prophet was trying to teach us what the new birth is, that it's the birth of the Word. All right. It took Jesus 3.5 years to plant that word into those disciples. And then when it did, then come forth the new birth. All right? Then you say, well, is it going to take us 3.5 years? I've tried to explain that. We were talking about it last night at Bible study. See, the first account or the point of bringing it, you got to bring it from the disciples, because that's where salvation began. And it did take them 3.5 years. So now, is that right? It took them that long to be able to come to a position to be born again. All right. But that doesn't mean after then, because see, after that happened, like I said over and over, it could take 3 minutes or 3 years or 10 years or whatever for you to be saved. All right. The point is, that see, on the day of Pentecost, the 120 in the upper room, it had taken them that long to come to that place to be where they could receive what was taking place. All right. But see, then by knowledge of understanding or by thoughts and ideas, you get 3,000 outside and they can receive Jesus Christ. You get the house at Cornelius, they can receive Jesus Christ. You get all of those things. It can just happen all at once and receive Jesus Christ, and they can go through what it takes to make the new birth. What does it take to make the new birth? Good to see our visitor back there with us today. So we say welcome. She can't hear it, but she'll hear it one of these days. But see, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. The new birth is that word that's revealed to you. All right? Now let's start as simple as we can to give understanding of this point. All right? Now are you with me to follow me? The first time it took 3.5 years. The next time it was just a few hours or something sermon. And doing it, we'll read some of that in a minute. And they could receive the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they had at least heard a little bit of understanding. All right? Now, then in that, it can move on into giving understanding. So don't think, well, Brother Dale believes you got a long time to be in your new birth. No, I believe you got to be born again.
Right.
Now, whatever it takes, how long it takes is none of my business. That's your business. That's between you and God. That's your own personal experience of the new birth. You say, well, I believe the prophet's message. All right. But that doesn't mean you're born again. The devil believes it. All right. That's just blunt, plain, but just straight. Well, I've got the only evidence I got. I believe the prophet's message. The prophet didn't say that. He said it's whether the spirit in you agrees with the word. There's your final evidence that he brought forth as to give understanding. All right. He didn't do away with love. He didn't do away with all of those things. He just finally, it come to a finality where he said the Lord showed him in a vision of what it is. What? The fact of the word, the Holy Ghost inside of you making that word alive. All right. Now, the natural birth is a type of the spiritual birth. Okay. And so that's where that Jesus starts with Nicodemus. Okay. And he explains, you know, the new birth, or you must be born again. You must be born of water and a spirit. Right. Read your scripture there. All right. As he gets to them to Nicodemus to explain it, then he's telling him the natural birth is a type of the spiritual birth. The natural birth, it takes what? Water, blood, life. The spiritual birth, it takes what? That's why I said Jesus, when he said it to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was saying, I can't understand you. Are you trying to say I got to go back to my mother's womb? He said, now if I tell you these things and you don't understand them, what good is it going to be me to explain spiritual things to you? All right. So he plainly tells him you must be born of water and of spirit. Now, he was plainly saying, I have spent 3.5 years teaching the disciples the word of God. Because what was he saying? Why didn't he say water, blood, and spirit? He just says born of water and of spirit. Because we went through and explained that now, because what did the prophet say? What did the Bible say? By the washing of the water of the word. So the word is what was washed. The disciples received the word, take all the parables, put your parables down, how that the parable is, take it and read your parables in your gospels, and you'll see what the new birth is. It's the birth of the word. It's the words you have taken. The disciples, the Bible said, they took the word, and one says it held it, one said they kept it or something like that. They done that until the Holy Ghost fell. Well, when the Holy Ghost fell, it fell on them that had heard the word. All right? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. To be born again, you're going to have to start right. We're not going to try to start with something that's reading. I keep saying it over and over. You misunderstand me because I just make a statement. And I know because, see, I try to cut down my messages instead of lengthening them out. You think I run them out because you think I just hammer on something. No, I do hammer on it. Because one thing for sure, you leave out of here, you ain't going to be able to say, Brother Dale didn't tell us what the new birth is. Well, I don't know where I got it or not. Yeah, because I don't know. Well, I've been told a new birth is it. That's what we were talking about last night. You know what's wrong with the majority of the Christian realm? Yep. You have been taught a certain way or certain thoughts or certain ideas or some doctrinal idea, and you take that as being the gospel. Instead of listening to the word of God. See, that's why they couldn't understand Brother Branham. Like I told you, he's preaching water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of those people that were in that group, that like 300 ministers, a lot of those ministers there had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they were Pentecostal, surely some of them fell in that class. And there he was. What was they against? What was they against him bringing? Because he was not bringing water baptism under regeneration. Because that's what a lot of them were already doing. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No, Lord Jesus Christ. But under regeneration, because that's Pentecostal doctrine. All right. And they was against that part. All right, but now let's get to the... See, I want us to make it as simple as we can. Start off where the children can understand. All right? So we can follow. You know, what is salvation now? We went through a lot of things, so let's go ahead and just pick up the scripture and read it and just look at the scripture. So go ahead and pull up number one, brother. We're not going to read the whole thing, but you know what number, you know what Acts 2 is dealing with and when it starts and how that, when the Holy Ghost had fell on them in Acts 1, and then you start into 2 is coming forth of the Holy Ghost when they're explaining what it is. All right. So now listen to them explain it after they experienced it. Now, are you seriously thinking with me what I mean? Here's Nicodemus. And Nicodemus' idea is, I've got to go back to my mother's womb. Well, what do you think the disciples believed? Come on, think serious. What did the disciples believe? They couldn't have been much more above Nicodemus. Because they didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost until Jesus Christ died, right? They couldn't have. So now let's go to them when they get the Holy Ghost and Peter describes the new birth. Okay? Let's think about what is being said. Now, like I said it now, Peter couldn't have told you this before the Holy Ghost fell. Are you with me? He couldn't have told it. But now after the Holy Ghost falls, look what he said. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now go back and read, as I said, verse 1 all the way through. Get the background of what's happening. They're over here, the Holy Ghost falls, and then Peter and them is over here in a minute, then we're going to read, and they'll say, what must we do? But I want you to follow the thought of what we're talking about. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Now, my point, listen, it's impossible if you believe the new birth is the birth of the Word. That's left up to you. I believe it. Firm believer of it. I believe you've got to have the Word to be revealed to you. All right. And if that's true, then it's impossible to get the new birth without the Word sown first.
Right. Absolutely.
It's impossible to get a corn to grow in the ground if you don't plant the seed. Is that straight? It's impossible. So let's get the seed planted. Amen. Let's say it about Jesus. It took him 3.5 years to plant the seed. Okay? Now, watch him now. As he starts, Peter is telling them his experience. Now listen. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this wit which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, Peter is laying down to them what has taken place. You've crucified him. You've done this. Well, they could say, well, I wasn't there with him. I had nothing to do with that. See, that's the way we talk. But he's telling them that. Now, watch what takes place. And when they heard this, the message of Jesus Christ and his coming and giving his life, go back to Acts 2 and read it all the way down, you'll see that's what he's talking about. That he's talking about Jesus Christ and who he is and what's taking place. Right? Amen. Now look what takes place. And when they heard this, when they heard the message of Peter, it's all right, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Amen. It's impossible to be born again unless you hear the word first. Okay, is that close and straight enough? Well, I didn't. Come on now, get off of the silliness. Nobody didn't teach me. Bless God, I got it myself. You read it out of a book. So you got it from the one that wrote the book. You know, Bible, whatever. Don't be silly with me on that part. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What? When they heard about the Lord Jesus and what had happened. Are you following me? Peter told them what had taken place. And they were pricked in their heart. Okay, now watch as we follow that point. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now are you listening? They come to a knowledge, a conscious state of something being wrong. The word pricked is to pierce. To prick, to pierce. To pain the mind. In other words, something happening to your mind. Agitating that mind vehemently. Used especially of the emotions of sorrow. So now when they heard about the Lord Jesus, there was not great signs and wonders took place. There were not great things going on. Peter didn't say, now, you've seen right here now, because we done raised four dead, we done that things that happened. No, he simply preached the sermon about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And what had happened up to where they were. And they become pricked in their heart. They become concerned. Do you remember the day you become concerned? Do you remember your first thoughts or contact about salvation? Or maybe you never was pricked in your heart. Maybe you never was concerned. That's what I'm saying it. That's right. I want to preach it to where that you've got to make up your mind to decide what you got, whether it matches the word of God or not. That's why Brother Branham says, don't. Come on now. Don't go back in the congregation and try to get them people to come to the altar. He said it'll be twice harder the next time. Am I right now? Because I've been there. I was 18 years old. My brother-in-law got killed in a car wreck. And my sister, she always was a spiritual person. She even felt God and things like that. I'm not going to argue with her about it. But she came down in the altar, in the pews there where I was at, and This is what she said. She said, Sam, you know JC, that he wasn't saved. And said, he's dead now. And said, he's in hell. And said, you need to do something about it while you got a chance. Well, you know what? She told everybody she was led of the Lord to come tell me that. When your prophet said, don't do that. He said, because you make them to where they're twice harder the next time to get them to come. Right? You see, was you pricked in your heart? Can you remember that? Can you remember when you started your journey of salvation? Because that's what we're trying to deal with, right? Salvation is a journey, being born again and all of that, going through all of it. But do you remember when you first come to a conscious state or knowledge of that you need to be saved? Huh? What about it? Do you remember that? Well, no, I don't remember. Well, what happened? You know, because these, when they come to a place that they were pricked in their heart about what had been told them about this Lord Jesus Christ and what he had went through, what had happened to him, how he'd been crucified, how the Holy Ghost had come back on them. That's what Peter's explaining, had come back upon them and received that new birth. And they're out now being witnesses of what took place in their life. Now, I know I'm hard and straight, but I'm plain. If you don't remember where you started, how do you know you started? Right? If you don't know, first off, that you're lost, how can you become saved? Well, God just come down, just dumped everything on me and just... That's all right. That's your problem. It won't change you for what I'm saying, because there's one thing for certain. That pricking in the heart was not Peter's words. It was made or stirred by Peter's words. But something else had to take place. What does it mean to be pricked in your heart? What is the point? Because when they become pricked in their heart about what had been taught them about the Lord Jesus and his life and his death and the things that had happened, they become concerned, right? And as they become concerned, then they said, men and brethren, what can we do? Amen. I like it that way instead of what you think ought to be wrote there. You think it ought to be wrote there. What can we do to be saved? No, they were just standing there. They didn't know what was going on except for one thing. They had become concerned in their heart. Something had happened to them. Because it had been brought to their knowledge by the disciples that had witnessed it, that this Lord Jesus Christ had died for their sins, and that he had placed within them a call. Amen. Do you remember when you was called? Do you remember when you was pricked in your heart? You remember when you become concerned. Trying to talk to the children. Trying to talk. You say, Brother Dale, it is so deep. He don't do that. I'm trying my best to break it right down to the baby form of what we're talking about. You can't tell somebody how to be born again if you are not born again yourself. Is that simple enough? Well, you could cause it. Yeah, you could cause things to happen. Yeah, but I'm talking about, can you tell them what a new birth is? What shall we do? I like that better than just putting it, what shall we do to be saved? They're just wanting to know, what can we do? There's something happening that we're concerned. You've brought our knowledge, brought to us a knowledge that this Lord Jesus Christ done all of these things, died in our stead. This is the message to the 3,000. Are you following me? This is not the message to the upper room. That's Acts 1. Acts 2, you go downstairs, you go outside to the 3,000 of people that were just out there that had never heard about the Lord Jesus. But when Peter got to it expressing about what this man had done, they never, as I said, never seen miracles. They never seen signs and wonders to try to draw them. The drawing was something else. Right? Brother Bob was hitting on this the other day, Sunday. Yeah. What about it? Have you become pricked in your heart? You see, that's what I'm telling you. You can't convince people. That's why Brother Branham is telling you that. You get people that they'll get up in front of a congregation. They get people to move, get them to do. Now, listen, come on. You're going to get upset, so go ahead. You see preachers that can really bring people under conviction. Preach things to do it. I wish to God I could do that. I've not made that away, but there are ministers, I've watched them, that could bring it. It is like Brother Moult said one time. He said, these people were saying redemption is over. He said, give me 100 people and I'll show you it ain't. He had that much confidence in his ability to contact people. Yet he was the deepest man in this message, and I don't back off. But yet he had a gift. He could make kids weep their way to the altar. It was a God-given gift because there's ministers who can do that. See why it's Peter. It's not John. It's not the eagle. It's not the different ones. It's Peter. Right? You remember there in the scripture in the book of Acts, how that they had prayed for those people and prayed for them and couldn't get the Holy Ghost to come on them? They sent up for Peter and John. I believe that's right. Now, if I get the names wrong, you put them together, okay? They sent for them to come down. They come down, spoke just a few words to the congregation. The Holy Ghost fell on them. There's people who know how to bring the presence of God to a congregation. But now I want to ask you another step. Did they continue on? Billy Graham. Now I'm quoting your prophet. Okay? You claim to believe him. He said Billy Graham said nobody had the ability that he had. Am I right? Because Billy Graham could bring thousands to the altar. Because he had a gift. He could bring people weeping to the altar about their lives. Right? He said, well, you believe Billy Graham had a gift? You going to argue with your prophet about what he said? Go right ahead. Help yourself. I'm just going to try to believe him. Because see, all of those things always concern me. When I hear a prophet say that Billy Graham said nobody can do it like him. Well, you know what? First off, I got to do away with all of that other stuff that I thought he just hoodooed them up to it and he tricked them into it or he didn't. No, he didn't get up there and call out names. Now you need to come to the altar and you know you've done this and you know Billy Graham didn't do that. He got up there and preached. Who was it? The other one that Brother Branham was speaking of? He said he can bring God. One of your great men in his name, but he said he can bring God. And see, Peter was chosen. Not John, not under the rest. Peter was chosen to bring the message because he had the gift. His gift worked. And he brought those people that had never heard, a lot of them, about the Lord Jesus. But he brought them to a conscious state of what Jesus Christ had done and how he had died for them, how he had saved, you know, everybody it had ever been it made. He brought it to the understanding, and those people then stood there, pricked in their heart. Right? Concerned. See? Do you remember when you first heard about Jesus? Do you remember that part? Can you go back in your life far enough to remember where you first contacted God? Now, I don't mean you just thought about it the first time you went to church. Most everybody would be here would be say, I was born and raised in church. You know. I'm asking you, you remember when you become pricked in your heart? Because that's the first stage, the pricking in your heart. But the pricking in your heart is because of one thing. No man can come to God unless he's called. And remember, many are called, but few are chosen. Right? Is it true? Let's hold that one right there just for a second and jump over. Go to number 3, John 6. Let's just read some scriptures because you see something had to take place before they become totally pricked in their heart. They had to get a knowledge. And the knowledge tells you what was taking place. Now, what did Jesus say? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, you can't come to God unless he calls you. That's where the trouble's at. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. There's people with the ability to contact people to get them to the altar. And God deals with that. And wonder, but because a lot of them come to the altar, don't mean they're saved. Because you go back in the congregation now. Well, now you know your mama. Now, you know, and that's scare tactics. Like I said, my sister comes, she said, you know JC was not saved. And he's dead in hell now, and you better get straight. Well, I'm serious as can be, and I've told you this before, it's on tape. I would have took his experience with God over hers. You see where you to use that to what you want to use it for? She was telling me he was lost. If I'd have said anything to her, I'd have looked back, should have looked back at her and said, let's me and you both go to the altar. Because you need to get saved first. The prophet said, don't do that. Me? All right. See, telling soft love stories don't get people saved. Oh, Jesus loves you. You need to do this. You need to do that. Talking to the children. You think that's going to save those children? Listen, church, that's what I'm saying. If you remember, You remember they done that to you. And you remember it never took you to Jesus Christ. I ain't saying it won't. I said it didn't to the majority. And probably the one sitting here, me talking to you, if you'll open up your own conscience enough to be pricked in your heart to realize what's taking place, you realize that you done that same thing. People tried to get you to come to salvation. But yet they tried to bring you the wrong way. Peter was bringing them the right way. He gets to it in a minute. Where we have time to get it. If not, we'll do it Wednesday. I want to be just get it to you simple as can be. Do you remember your first contact in church? Are you, you know, whatever, or where you're at in home or whatever, anybody talking to you about the Lord Jesus? Do you remember that? Did it lead you to the Lord? Well, I went to the altar and I repented. Did you go to the altar because you, now I'm serious, and you can do what you want to. If my sister had kept on, I'd have walked to the altar to got her off my back. I'm serious and straight, whether you are or not. I would have done that to got her off my back because I wasn't concerned with that. There was no conviction in my heart. I told you. She needed to be in the altar. The deacon board in the church needed to be in the altar. The church, the prophet said, has always been the thing that stood before mankind and God instead of leading us to God. Right? See, don't talk to your kids about don't do this and don't do that because Jesus loves you and he's mad at you. You're trying to scare tactics and those things won't work. Sure, tell them about the love of God that he shed his life to where they could have an opportunity to be able to be saved. Tell them the good side about the story, but don't tell them about it to try to fear them into it. Them getting very few amens. Because you know what I'm telling you is hitting. I don't mind saying it. You know why it's hitting because you know where you come from. You know what happened to you in your life. Just be serious one time about it. You might find out you are lost. Because if the people tried to lead you to God could not bring a point of being your conviction, as we call it, upon you, then they just become a hindrance. Right. And if we don't believe salvation is an emotional situation, and heaven help you with what you're trying to figure out what I'm saying, I believe in emotions more than anybody in this building. I've witnessed more emotions than anybody I can talk to about. Because I can tell you about seeing the Lord. I can tell you about seeing the angel of God. I can tell you about things that happened. I can tell you about the witnesses of what happened in my life. See, then I don't back up. I take it and just put it there straight. Have you ever really had an experience? I've asked you to read The Future Home. Go read the first 15, 18 pages over and over and over. where the prophet said that at justification said all it does is chops off your past sins. It says does nothing to your nature, your ways, or being. But what about it? Go to John 6. It was John 5, number. John 6. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, one of these days, it will dawn on us what the prophet is saying, which has always been one of the hardest things for me to follow. You don't know what that is? The very fact of what the Bible says and the prophet said when it says no man assault God at any time. You realize the Bible's telling you, you never sought God. The Bible, the prophet is telling you, God sought you. The Bible is telling you that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God, something led you to repentance. You realize it was God seeking you? But Brother Dale, I remember when I cried and I prayed. I did too. I remember 2 years after coming into this message. That I'd listened to read 6 books in one day and listened to 2 tapes all in that same one day. I spent my whole life to learn this message. Because I knew if the message was right, then I had the gold within my hand. I wanted the pearl of great price. And I had it in my hand. But the world didn't mean anything to me. But I also knew that I wasn't born again. And that's where we'll get to that one later. We'll get back on like we said last night. We talk about anointed ones. Do you realize that there's no difference in the anointing of anointed ones and true born again believers? The anointing is the same. Would you admit, well, Brother Dale, I'm an anointed one. If you're not an anointed one, you're not born again. Maybe that'll get you to listen to last night's message. If you're not anointed with a genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost, you're not born again. No, but that's an anointed one. Okay. But look what he's saying. Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me, except it were given unto him of my Father. They surely didn't understand him. Right? Read the next verse. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They're just like Nicodemus. They didn't know what was going on. And instead of staying with the man that had the plan, as we call it, I used to like that old Brother Wood because I think it's among the black people use the slang, you got to go where the stuff's at or something like that. You got to get where the stuff's at. And Brother Woodby, he'd always say, he said, you got to get with the one that's got the stuff. You know. All right. Look. From that time, many of his disciples went by. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Now, you know what the prophet said? You remember what he said about that? Anybody want to quote it for me? Then said Jesus unto the 12, why don't you go also? That's what Brother Branham said they were saying. That Jesus was saying to them, why don't you go too? And that's your prophet. That's why I love the prophet. He's got the answer. We got the questions. Look. Simon Peter answered them, Lord, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He finally come up with a statement enough to place it with on it. And I like the Bible because of that. Let's see, how does it go? Do you now believe? When Jesus got so far, he said, do you now believe? Do you understand what I'm getting at? What's the first step of salvation? God calling you. No, I cried and prayed. They took me to altar. I done this. That ain't so. That ain't step number one. Step number one is whether or not God is calling you. Yeah, but he called everybody. Mm-mm. Remember, he chose the 12, and one of them was the devil. He even had him walking with him in Judas. He chose him to be part of the ministry. He gave him part of the ministry. They cast out devils and all kind of things, and that was Judas Iscariot. Do you remember where you started? Because that's Romans 2 and 4, where the goodness of God is what leads you to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Pricked in their heart. They became concerned about what they heard. Well, I don't remember being concerned, Brother Dale. I just accepted Jesus Christ. How can you accept Jesus Christ if you don't know who he is? Now, come on, I got it written down here in front of me, so if you want it, holler. Just remember, you can't run around there with all of those things if it's not God calling you. Then your coming is great. Okay, good. Makes you a good neighbor, but don't make you a Christian. If he's not calling you, then you're not in line of salvation. That's what I said, though. But he calls everybody, Brother Dale. No, he don't. And just remember the odd group that he called. I mean, here was 3,000 that was gathered there. And he chose 3,000. Give them a message, and they accepted it. What about it? In other words, what is the plan of salvation? And what does it take to be saved? Number one, it takes the fact of knowing whether God has called you. Now, there's where the good part comes in, of you bragging about Jesus and telling how good he is and what he's done and not telling about how bad he is and how he hates you because you're doing this. You're scaring. I stood in Jamaica and watched after I wound up. Most of you know the story. I wound up preached for 5 or 6 days and nights, and my voice was gone. I was just totally... I couldn't even hardly whisper. And they said, what do you want us to do? I said, I want you to put all the kids on the front row. There's probably somewhere 200-300 people maybe in that building. I don't know. I said, bring all the kids up on the front row. I want to talk to them. I had an opportunity to jump on to them old folks about their tongues and their gifts and their things that they had scared them with. And I started talking to them about the love of God. And I told them, even told them flat out, I said, your mamas and daddy's going to differ with me about this. But I said, I got my opportunity to speak to you children. I'm going to speak to you. I said, they're going to tell you, you got to speak in tongues, you got to do this, that, and the other. I said, that's their doctrines and ideas. But I said, all I want to do is talk to you about Jesus Christ. I want you to see about this Jesus that I've been preaching about. This one that I've been talking of doctrines and ideas all these five sermons or something before. I want to talk to you. Don't want to scare you. It won't work. I want to talk to you about the love of God. When I got through preaching, this altar was full. The children came to the altar. Sure, next came the people. And I had to back up. You understand what I mean? Because they jumped down and tried to get all of them speaking tongues and shouting and doing their and telling them, come on now, say it. All those things, I had to back up. Why? Because I knew better than to move any further. But I had done what I had set out to do, was to try to get those children to think about salvation. About Jesus Christ. And how they needed a Savior. See, I didn't go over there to stir up and create. That's why they invited me. If you know the story, because a couple of brothers had went over there and they really tore the island up about the message, and you got to believe this, you got to do that, and this one little boy just run it real bad. I ain't going to call her names. And the brothers, I asked him when I got there, I asked the pastor, I said, I know what happened. I said, I know what the situation took place. I know what happened here and what they done. I said, Brother Branham told us not to do that. I said, preaching the truth is preaching the truth. But now this deliberately beating on people because they don't believe what you believe is not it. And I said, the prophet told us not to do that. I said, then I'm here at your point. You tell me how far to go, and I'll honor your word. This is what he said, and that's what I done. He said, the morning services is my people. Take them to the greatest depth you can take them. Preach to them whatever's on your heart. But he said at night, said you're going to be witnessing 300 people from the island, and they don't even know what in the world about a prophet or anything like that. He said, be led to say what you say, but just don't beat them about it. And when I finished, I was invited to come back. See, preaching Jesus Christ is not a bunch of rules and regulations and things to try to get you saved. You can stop drinking, stop smoking, stop chewing, stop doing all of those things and still die and go to hell. But I just ask you a simple question to where we are. What about it? Have you ever witnessed within your own life a conviction that came upon you to, whether you were young or old or whatever you are, and you say, well, I shouldn't do that. Now, we ought to know better than to drink and smoke and gamble and stuff like that. You ought to know that we're not trying to preach. You quit all that and then you know you're saved. No, uh-uh. You can quit every bit of that and still be lost. I'm just asking you a simple question. Has God ever dealt with you? Has he ever come down in the night or something and talked to you? You ever had it, children, when God would talk to you and say, you need to do that. You don't need to do this. You don't need to be doing those things. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you see, there's your first step. And so, no, repentance is, no, no. Repentance is, should be an outward working of an inward point of something taking place. You know, if that come out right. It should be to the point of repentance. You know. Now, what must we do to be saved? What about it? You have heard the word. Has it pricked you in your heart? I ain't talking about today. I'm talking about in your life. Did you come to a knowledge of God? Because that's what Peter was bringing those people to. He had to bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see why the truth is so important? You see why it's so important, this message and what we do? Now, come on. I know what God has done. I got them laying here, and I got the scripture where there was a time that God winked at ignorance. It's right, yeah. There was a time he winked at their ignorances of the fact that we believed in three gods and taught three gods and Jesus was the this and this was that and that was that and taught all of our doctrines and ideas and things like that. And a lot of people come to the altar under that. But he says now he commands all men to repent. Right? What about it? Have you ever been pricked in your heart? Have you ever had a conviction to come upon you and be troubled? Just be troubled in your heart. Troubled in thinking about it. That if he's done all of that for me, what can I do for him? Right? Was that what Peter was explaining? All that Jesus had went through and what had taken place and all of that. And when it did, they become pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? You brought us out now this far. What should we do? Okay. What shall we do? All right. Let's go to Acts, back where we were. The number one quote. We got down to verse 37. When he's got through explaining what had happened and what Jesus had taken place and how he died and how they had even crucified him. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, you can believe Brother Branham was a prophet. You can shout. You can cry. You can do. Now, what did the Bible say? The thing we don't like. What is the one word we don't like? I'm sorry. Right? Did that come out all right? What's the very first thing in your life that you don't like? To say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Well, you really dug us, didn't you? What shall we do? Now, here is the plan of salvation. The first part brings you to it, what was said. It's God calling you, not you calling him. It's God calling you to salvation. All right. Now, once you come to salvation, pricked in your heart, what happened? Then Peter said unto them, repent. and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'll get to that other part in a minute, because that's the worst misunderstood of all things, is that little simple point. Just get the simple point of what it's saying. What's the first thing to do in salvation? Repent. Repent, every one of them, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that scripture? Because the promise is unto you and to your children. Repent. The Bible says that repentance and remission is to preach in the name of Jesus. So they said, now what can we do? They were concerned. He said, repent. What does repent mean? Sure, it means to say I'm sorry, but what does it really mean? It means to turn around. It means stop what you're doing because you're going in the wrong direction. Right? Is that a simple understanding of the word repent? It means to stop what you're doing, turn around, and go the other way. Repentance. You remember what? You know, did people bring you up and talk to you and get you to, or did they say to you, now, what you need to do? Now, here's the basis of what most altar calls lead you to, is you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right, that's good. But that's not starting it. What? That's not starting it. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't you believe that? What? Now there's something goes in front of that. We just read it. What is it? You need to repent. Then ask Jesus to come in. No, I prayed for Jesus to come in. Did you repent first? Maybe Jesus didn't come in. Because remember the thing that we've always been taught of what the prophet says. He said, it's not whether you accept Jesus Christ. It's whether he accepts you. Now, if you don't repent, he don't have to accept you. Are you with me? Well, Brother Dale, I asked Jesus to come in. I went to the altar. I cried. I asked him to come into my heart and save me. But did you ask him to forgive you of what you've been? Now, come on, we're in the future home. You don't have to repent for what somebody else done. You don't have to say, God, I'm sorry that Adam and Eve messed this thing up in the garden, and I've got problems, but I can't help it. Now, you're a liar. Come on. Well, just come to the altar and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come to the altar and repent of your sins, then you have a right to ask God to forgive you. Then you have a right to ask him to come in. Then he's accepting you to come in. But he doesn't have to come in if you don't repent. You're trying to get him to come in a dirty house. At least we'll get to a justification where the prophet said, it chops off your past sins. But you see why a lot of people never get nothing? They've never been taught what to do. I didn't write the book. Your prophet's the one that said it. So you argue with him. He said it's not whether or not you accept him. That was a hard one. That was a hard one for me because I know how that I sought God and all like that. Back in the denominations and things like that, I sought God. When I come to find this message, then the man that I claim to believe told me, said, you never sought God. Said it was him seeking you. Then I realized, hey, this thing has been underway a long time. He's been trying his best to slow me down long enough to get me straight. And the first thing to do to get me straight is what? I need to repent. Well, no, you need to accept Jesus Christ. If you're listening, listen to what I'm saying. You can't accept Jesus Christ that way. You accept Jesus Christ on the basis that he's asking him to forgive you. And that he has paid the price. Who said it? Peter. Peter, what can we do to be saved? What you need to do is go get baptized. Oh, we're going to have time today, but we're going to get on a good one on that one. And what you need to do is you need to receive the Holy Ghost. You ain't even started. What about all that 3,000 standing there said, what must we do? And Jesus looks at them and he says, first thing you need to repent. Now, he never stood out there and said, what you need to do is accept Jesus Christ. He said, you need to repent. Have you ever repented for your sins? Here's my old faithful statement, right? I'd rather go through life confessing all of my sins, repenting of all my sins, and coming out the end of the road and find out the Lord done put them under the blood, than to not do it at all and wind up the end of the road and not have no hopes. What about you? Brother Dale, do you repent every day? Do you ask God to forgive you every day? Well, you must be a dirty guy. I am. Thank you. Pray for me. I don't have no problems. I know what's straight and what's right. Well, you understand what I'm getting at? What is the first thing? They heard the message. They were pricked in their heart. Why didn't Peter say, all you got to do is believe what he done? They already believed what he done. They said they did. By the fact of them saying, what can we do? Well, you go join the church, you believe God, you do this, you do that, you accept this, you accept that. No, first thing to do is repent. Now, come on, children. Young kids and things, come on. But adults, let's listen. But you know people don't teach you you need to repent. This is not the age of repentance. Right? This is not the age of repentance. Nobody wants to repent. Me, you, whoever. Do we want to repent? No, we're like the guy was that said what? Said his wife said, well, you ain't told me in 20 years you love me. He said, I told you the day I married you that I loved you, and I ain't changed my mind. Well, God knows 20 years ago I went to the altar and accepted him as my Savior. Now, here's what and you can't tell me I ain't saved because I was there. Well, where are you now? Right? Repentance and remission of sins is in the name of Jesus Christ. Told you, going to make it as simple as I can. First, to realize God calls you. Because come on, folks. You know yourself, you was enjoying the world you was in. Right? Right? You was enjoying the world you was in. And you certainly didn't want to repent of doing that or stop it. You wanted to keep on doing it. But something come over you. phones here. Are we serious enough? Have you ever been serious enough to just say, God, I'm sorry. Just forgive me, Lord. No, I asked you 20 years ago, and I ain't asking him again. Well, don't worry about it. But I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Come on, musicians. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. What else can I do? What did Brother Branham say on that? He said, that's a good Baptist point of what else can I do? But he said, they'll say even, look at Abraham. And he, you know, but Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. You know what happened then? Abraham received a sign of circumcision to prove in his repentance was genuine. Well, I cried out, I prayed, I fasted, I've done. Praise God. So we're supposed to be asking Peter and them who had it, received it. Peter, how did you get this? Well, I spent 3.5 years with the Lord learning the word. No, Peter, how did you get the Holy Ghost? That I first had to realize God was calling me. You remember that? At least realizing something was calling you. Something was dealing with you. Right? And then you said, well, Lord, I'm sorry. I repented. The baptism follows after that, but it's not the sign of salvation. But yet there's a big portion of the people of this world believe in water baptism under regeneration. One form or other. And I picked that up in the people of this message. So we're going to pick it up in the Bible. I love the Bible for what the truth it's got. People say you can't be saved if you're not baptized. At the house of Cornelius, the Holy Ghost came on them before they was baptized. So now then, go on, do what you want to. I'm in the Bible. Where are you at? I'm with old Dr. So-and-so that believed. Yeah, okay. Now let's stay with the Bible. Make it simple. Let's stand. What we got, brother?
Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother.
How about it?
There's honey in the rock for you.
You realize that God has been leading you.
Leave your sins for the blood
talking to you.
Cover. There's honey in the rock for you.
What about the repentance now? What about the repentance?
Who's wondrous, kind, and true?
Well, God knows I want to do what's right. Well, why don't you tell him?
There's honey in the rock.
Remember, we're not arguing quotes. We're talking about the Word of God.
Oh, there's honey in the rock, my
You've accepted
brother,
him as your Savior, but has he accepted you?
Honey in the rock.
Now I'm going to say it and I hold to this. If we don't have a repentant heart, he doesn't have to accept us.
There's honey in the rock for you.
That ought to explain that now.
Oh, there's honey in the rock, my
I've accepted him, but has he accepted me? If our repentance is right, he has.
Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the
Father,
rock.
We just come to you as serious as we can in our heart and believing, and we're trying our best to bring salvation to people. And I know, Lord, that my ways and doing is horrible. But I wasn't gifted to be able to do that. If I did, I could do it. The only thing I can talk about is your word, because that's what it's based on. Everybody else can have gifts and signs and wonders. I just want the word. I just want to hear what the word has said. And we've already found this much. If you don't call us, we can't come. If we don't repent, you don't have to accept us. So we started in the right direction. Now just have your way. Bless Wade this afternoon. Give us the word to be heard. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
In the rock, my brother, oh, there's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. Oh, there's honey in the rock for you. Oh, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious?